Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, some years ago, I got a telephone call from a dear friend who was really struggling. His struggle was with depression and thoughts of suicide. And he had become convinced that he wanted to die. He did not want to go on living. His life seemed to him at the time intolerable. Now, he had a lot going for him. Intelligent, well-educated, a lot of friends. He actually was a Christian, believed the Bible was true, knew his Bible much better than most folks, and yet he was overwhelmed with this sense of despair, just really miserable. So he called me on the phone, and he said, the reason I called is because I want to kill myself. And knowing him as well as I did, I said, I don't believe you. If you wanted to kill yourself, you would not have picked up the phone. You would have picked up a razor. You would have picked up a gun. You would have picked up some pills. You would have done something other than call me. And I have said this to others since, but I said to him, being talked to death by a Baptist preacher is a slow way to go. And he had a good enough sense of humor that he appreciated that. I want you to understand what he came to understand, and that is the reason he called me was not because he wanted to kill himself, but because he didn't want to kill himself. In the moment, he thought he wanted to kill himself. He thought that was his desire, but it wasn't his desire. In fact, his desire was to live, and that's why he picked up the phone. That's why he called me. He called someone that he knew cared about him and trusted Jesus and would try and talk him out of what he was contemplating doing. I'm happy to say that that was over 20 years ago and that he is alive and well and walking with the Lord and has been a great encouragement to many other people as they have battled with depression and suicidal thoughts. We're going to be interviewing a guest that many of you are familiar with. His name is Ray Comfort. And Ray and I are going to talk about this subject later in the broadcast. But before we get there, I want to speak to those of you who are, in fact, struggling with such thoughts right now. Many of you who listen to this broadcast are battling horrible temptations. Not all of you toward depression or suicide. But still, nevertheless, temptations, impulses toward destructive things, things that would bring harm to you and to those who love you. And I want to plead with you to listen to the promises of God's Word, to believe what God says about your situation. You see, my friend knew that the Scriptures were true intellectually, but emotionally, he was feeling as if somehow it didn't apply to him. God might be a God of love, but he did not feel the love of God. And he was allowing his feelings to push him toward behaviors that would be horribly destructive. The enemy is a liar. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When my friend told me that he wanted to kill himself and then began to realize as we talked, no, you don't want to kill yourself. That's why you called me. I then said to him, I want you to consider for a moment, where are those thoughts coming from? Who is it that's making you think that you want to kill yourself? In Mark chapter 5, you have a picture of a man who was cutting himself with stones A lot of psychologists and psychiatrists would say that is latent suicidal behavior. Ray and I will talk about that as well. There are a lot of ways, short of cutting yourself or cutting yourself with stones, like the demoniac in Mark 5, that people harm themselves every day, engaging in behaviors that they know are harmful. Where do those impulses come from? It comes from the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He knows that God loves you, and therefore he wants to see harm come to you. Let me tell you something. Satan isn't going to come to you and say, "Hi, this is the devil. I want to destroy your life, but I need your cooperation." That wouldn't work very well. Instead, the devil is going to try and present his thoughts as your thoughts, his desires as your desires. Don't fall for it. Realize that God loves you and that you can have a life of victory through Jesus Christ. Do not fall for the devil's lies. Believe God's promises and allow him to transform your life. We'll be back in just a moment with Ray Comfort.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, folks, as promised, my guest is Ray Comfort. He is founder and CEO of Living Waters and best-selling author of more than 80 books. Now, you have a new movie coming out. You're a man who has produced a lot of media, and this is a new project, and in some ways, in my view anyway, it's a bit of a departure from what you've done before, because the focus in the past has been on apologetics and evangelism and so forth, but there is an issue on the horizon that you believe is going to be something of an explosion in the coming days. Tell us about this new movie that is coming out.
Yeah, it's called Exit, and it's about the subject of depression. The World Health Organization says 150 million people are depressed, which is kind of a depressing thing. But the world's got a lot to be depressed about. I mean, there's nothing exciting about this life when death is waiting at the end of it. And we as Christians take for granted that we have hope. But we have a generation that's been left without hope. 42,000 Americans commit suicide. Nearly 500,000 end up in hospital each year at attempted suicide. Mm-hmm. And that's because we've got a generation that's forsaken God. In the 1950s, I don't know if you remember, if you're that old.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't lock your door, you didn't lock your car, people didn't get murdered all over the place. You could send your wife out to get the groceries when it was dark, and things have changed, and I think it was because back then, 1950s, America was considered a God-fearing country. The Ten Commandments were the Star Wars of the decade. It was Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments that were just a massive hit right throughout that time, and people had a measure of respect for the commandments, and they knew it was wrong to kill, and they had that sort of fear of God or regard to God. Mm-hmm. But this is a generation that given up on moral absolutes, especially atheists. Mm-hmm. There's no God, there's no right, no wrong. And that gives a kind of a nice little honeymoon for them, because that means fornication is okay, adultery is okay, pornography is okay, homosexuality is okay, and there's no moral absolutes. But it also means that suicide is okay. And with no fear of God, no concern for his commandments, suicide has become viable for this generation. And that's why we have so many, especially young people, 1 in 12 high school students have attempted suicide. Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And so we decided we'd make a movie to address the subject. It's not a depressing movie, but it will make you cry, because the ending has something in it that's very, very heartwarming, heart-wrenching, and hits you right in the emotional part. Mm-hmm. But people can see the trailer at theexitmovie.com. And we are very blessed because our YouTube channel has over 46 million views. So we have this access to the world that I don't think past generations have had.
Amen. Amen. That's marvelous, Ray. Now, you've shared essentially your motivation in making the movie and why you believe there is such an increase. What do you think about the popular Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why? I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with that, but I know some of them are.
Yeah, well, I was speaking at a Christian school last Friday, and 200 teenage students, almost all of them knew about 13 Reasons Why.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, it's a Netflix series that is wildly popular, and it's about a young girl, teenage girl, who is the hero, female hero of the series,
mm-hmm.
where she commits suicide, but before she does so, she sends 13 audios to her friends, 13 of them, and blames each one of them for her suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You raped me, da-da-da-da, left me, and just went through the whole thing of how she was felt rejected and hurt,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
moved into depression, etc., and then she killed herself. But what I'm deeply concerned about is the fact, number one, that you see the hero commit suicide. She's fully clothed, she gets in a bath, and then she takes a razor blade, and she slits her wrists one after the other, mm-hmm. and she's going into hyperventilation as she does. It's very, very... It's frightening. It's horrific. When I first watched it, I went into hyperventilation and wept. It's so graphically powerful. And I know it's just special effects. We do it here
mm-hmm.
when we make movies. But for a teenage kid, the number one, they're seeing how to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're seeing their hero commit suicide. There's that copycat aspect, mm-hmm. which you always get with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, The producers didn't take into thought the fact that there are cutters out there, thousands and thousands of cutters.
Mm-hmm.
Cutters are kids that take razor blades and cut their own wrists,
yes.
and legs. And they get. And what frightened me about that is that in our movie, I questioned a young lady. I said, do you ever consider suicide? She says, all the time.
Yep.
And I says, isn't that scary? And she says, oh, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And that's what cutters are doing. They're getting used to it. They're
mm-hmm.
practicing doing themselves harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the producers of 13 Reasons Why have made a terrible, terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see repercussions because they're already planning the second season. And we know that it's just probably thoughtlessness and desire to be successful and make money, and that's the way of the world.
Yeah. Exploiting the pain and despair that is so
yeah.
widespread out there.
Yeah.
Now, when she gives 13 reasons why, what would you say as to why people commit suicide?
Yeah, well, after burying my head in a sea of information for months and doing research for a movie and for a book called, I think it's called Battling Depression and Thoughts of Suicide, reading articles on suicide, listening to experts, watching videos, and I've come to the conclusion the world is absolutely lost when it comes to this, and the only answer is the gospel of salvation, because I believe the number one reason people commit suicide is hopelessness in the face of death.
Mm.
Book of Hebrews says, for as much as you and I are made of flesh and blood, God became a person, and he did this to deliver those who, quote, through the fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Every single human being has an inherent fear of death, a haunting until we come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're delivered from that because of faith. And the difference between someone who has faith and someone who doesn't is like the difference between a man who's not wearing a parachute and has to jump out of a plane compared to a man who's wearing a parachute and has to jump out of a plane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was going to jump out of a plane without a parachute, I would be absolutely horrified
mm-hmm.
knowing what was going to happen. But if someone gave me a parachute, that just changes the scenario incredibly. I say, oh, I'm saved. I've got a parachute.
Mm-hmm.
And my fear will be in direct proportion to the faith. If I trust mm-hmm. the parachute, I say, well, let's go. We jump in. Away we go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I trust the parachute.
Mm-hmm.
That's like those who have put on the Lord Jesus Christ and those who haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart breaks for the many, many millions of people who are still in darkness, still captive to the power of death and the fear of death. And that's why this film is so important. and we want people to download it. You get to, we've got another 3 weeks before it goes freely on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
where people download it, and it costs them $19.99 to download it. They get two free books, and they get to see the movie early, and they give us the ability to continue to financially create movies and make them available freely on the internet via YouTube.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate it when people download it early.
Sure. And again, the website that folks can go to is theexitmovie.com.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, biblically, what argument would you use against suicide? Not everybody believes the Bible, even though it is God's word, absolutely trustworthy. But the scripture has power, whether people believe it or not. God's word is not going to return to him void. And I would ask you, what biblical argument do you use against suicide?
The Philippian jailer. Remember the story where the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself? Paul
yep.
and Silas had been arrested, thrown in prison in stocks, and they'd been whipped and with wooden rods. And they sang praises to God. And a miracle happened. God opened up the doors, and their chains fell off. And that's a type of the Christian. We are held captive by the power of death, and the moment we come to Christ, our chains fall off. And the doors are open. We have the door of heaven as access to us. And the Philippian jailer, when he saw that all the prisoners were gone, so he thought, drew out a sword, and he was going to kill himself. And the reason he was going to do it made sense, because mm-hmm. under Roman law, if you lost your prisoner, if he was going to be crucified the next morning, you suffered his punishment. So
mm-hmm.
all the prisoners were gone as far as this guy was concerned, so get the sword out and get this over with quick.
He was a dead man already.
Yeah, but he was deceived because Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here.
Mm-hmm.
God caused the prisoners to stay in their prisons, even with the doors open and their chains falling off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message we have for the world. What we're saying is, do yourself no harm to this generation,
mm-hmm.
because God can do a miracle in your life. He can do what he did with Moses. Moses was, he might as well have committed suicide. They were on the Red Sea. Israel was whining. Egypt was going to come up and probably slaughter him. I don't know, but Moses didn't say, I'm going to kill myself. He said, stand still and see the salvation of God. He trusted God. Same with Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, lots of lions licking their lips and looking at him for lunch. It was all over. But he trusted God, and God delivered him. And that's what we say to this generation. Do yourself no harm. Trust God. He'll do a miracle. And what may seem like an absolute dilemma where there's no way of escape, absolutely impossible, like the Philippian jailer, it is possible. With God, nothing is impossible. He can do all things, so we need to call out to this generation, do yourself no harm, trust in God, and that's the message of this movie.
Amen. So let me ask you, and this is a rhetorical question, but it's one that I think our listeners need to hear an answer to. Ray, honestly, do Christians get depressed?
Absolutely. Charles Spurgeon got terribly depressed, but he said, you know, some people are born melancholy. I mean, there's sanguine, melancholy, phlegmatic, and choleric, the four different characteristics of human beings. The sanguine person steps into a room and says, hi, I'm here, you lucky people. But the melancholy or the phlegmatic person is very, very quiet and liable to depression. So sometimes we're born with a propensity to get depressed. Spurgeon said, moving from England, where it was dreary and foggy all the time,
mm-hmm.
to France, the Riviera, with the blue sky, lifted him up, because red makes us angry. It agitates us, makes us see red. Green gives us a sense of peace, but blue gives us a sense of well-being. So sometimes these things have a natural cure. Other times they're not. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we may need medicinal help from a doctor. Mary Hart does good like a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is, for the Christian, if you're depressed, is to fling yourself into the safety net of Romans 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for God, to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. So what we've got to do, if we can possibly do it, is lift ourselves up by the bootstraps and say, no matter what happens to me, God is for me, and he's going to work out all things for my good. Martin Luther got depressed.
Badly.
Oswald Chambers got terribly, terribly depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But he says the answer is to just trust in God, and that's the answer for the Christian and for the world. Trust in God, because if you really believe the scriptures, you'll have joy and peace in believing, and it's really hard to get depressed when you have joy and peace in believing.
Amen. The end of Romans in chapter 15, Paul talks about a hope that overflows in the midst of joy and peace as a result of the Holy Spirit's work in us. From Romans 15, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That is a powerful image. The believer is to be overflowing with hope, not just clinging to a sliver of hope, but overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That comes from God. It doesn't mean that you feel great all the time. It means that your hope is grounded in him and in his word, not in your circumstances and not in your feelings. That doesn't mean that if you are not currently feeling joyful and peaceful, that you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life. If you're a Christian, God himself has taken up residence in you. But the fact of the matter is, some people have a real battle in this area. And as Ray has shared, it is definitely possible for people who love the Lord and walk with him to be assailed by depression. And you can have victory even in the midst of a battle. It doesn't mean that you don't have to resist. It doesn't mean you don't have to go to the Word. It doesn't mean you don't have to go to your knees. And it may even mean that you would do well to go to the Riviera, like Spurgeon. Ray, what would you say to someone who's on the edge of a building about to jump?
Yeah, boy, get ready for this because it's going to shock you a little bit. I would tell them about a friend of mine and what happened to his brother in 2012 in Utah. A group of men with masks on, holding knives, knocked him out, cut open his chest, took out his heart, and no one did a thing to stop them. Mm. And you say, that's horrible. And I say, no, it's not. It's wonderful. They're actually surgeons. They were masked men. They had scalpels. They knocked him out through anesthesia. They cut open his chest, took out his old heart, and gave him a new heart, and no one stopped them because they were saving his life.
Amen.
Well, that's the beginning of a book that we've got that I mentioned before that's being printed at the moment called How to Battle Depression and Suicidal Thoughts, and where a stranger comes to a guy on the edge of the San Francisco Bridge going to jump, and he says, hey, don't jump. He says, I'm going to. You can't stop me. He says, please, please, let me talk to you. Let me tell you about my friend's brother. And he says, I don't care what you tell me. Tell me about your stupid friend's stupid brother. I'm going to jump anyway. So he tells him the story. And the reaction of the guy before he found out it was they were surgeons was, that makes me sick. That's just evil. Mm-hmm. And so the stranger says, no, it wasn't. It was wonderful. And he tells him what has happened. And the guy who's going to jump says, oh. And the stranger says, oh, indeed. In a matter of seconds, you changed your mind from something being terribly evil to being wonderfully good because of information. Mm-hmm. I've got information that will change your mind about what you want to do when committing suicide. And so begins a very interesting discourse. It's a 96-page book, and it's one that we want to give away in universities across the country, 100,000 copies, God willing.
That is marvelous. I just had open-heart surgery the end of December and wrote something very similar, not a book, but a letter to our supporters, and began the same way, and that is that recently, a man I barely knew stabbed me in the chest, et cetera, and described my surgery. And one of our email respondents was very concerned because he had not understood that it was a picture of my heart surgery, and he was so distressed. And again, just needed more information.
So how's your health now? Did it work?
Yes, praise the Lord. I didn't get a new heart. I didn't need a new heart. I needed a new valve and an aneurysm repair. And I'm very thankful the Lord provided both, and I had a full recovery. And you are exactly right that if people had more information, if they knew the gospel, if they would believe the facts of what Jesus has done for us, it would change everything.
Absolutely.
Ray, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast with us. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate your ministry. You've been faithful for many years now, and God has used you to change many lives with the truth of the gospel. I want to commend you for that. And I hope that as our listeners have heard today about this movie, Exit, and about the written materials that are available, that they'll go to that website, theexitmovie.com, and get more info. thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate you mentioning that. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.